Hour number two of Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a great day to this point. He's Big Joe Doohan. I'm Chase McCabe, Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Jake back there as well, hanging out. We have three Jakes now.
I know, man.
We have an allotment of Jakes.
My favorite Jake, though, because he's with us.
That's true.
That's right.
Jakey baby, as we refer to
That's
him.
That's right.
But, yeah, anyway, today Brian Callahan spoke and talked about the Jarvis Brownlee trade. Do you think we're probably not going to find out what truly happened.
No, but I like the interaction, because was it Paul asking the question? It's just like, and he's like, you're not getting it. You're not getting this.
Yeah.
Stay away.
He basically was like, I'm not going to change. And look, I have no problem with Paul going at him like that. Like, keep asking.
Yeah.
I mean, you can get defensive all you want, Brian Callahan. The problem is you're 0-3 and you suck as a head coach. So
yeah. Does he think he gets a pass if you're in New York, Philadelphia, Chicago, Dallas,
nope.
or somewhere?
Nope.
No.
Oh, he wouldn't.
No, right? He wouldn't do that. So yeah, it'd be interesting.
Look, this is what's gonna happen. This is your classic. Give me examples of head coach, like Pat Shurmur is an example of a coach that good assistant, good offensive guy. He's been around a long time, not a good head coach.
No.
Arthur Smith might be in that category.
Spagnuolo. Terrible head coach.
Even though I think he's going to get another chance. I just have a feeling.
Nashville.
Probably. Why do you think I keep bringing it up?
Yeah, I can see it happening.
Because it's one of those things that none of y'all are going to want, and you're all going to bitch about it, but it's probably got a really good chance of happening.
Do you know who is an okay coach? But he has a Super Bowl, which puts him another level. But he's basically an okay coach. And I hate to say this.
Oh, is he active?
He's not.
Okay, hang on. Don't say it yet. Has a Super Bowl. He's an okay coach.
He's Jeff Fisher with a Super Bowl.
Gruden?
John Gruden.
Yeah.
And we love him. I mean, because sure. He develops quarterbacks. His knowledge of the game is great. But those teams in Tampa after the Super Bowl weren't that great. The Raider team wasn't that great. He's a hell of assistant coach.
Do you think that the people – because, like, look, we will – and we love Jeff Fisher, he's a friend of the show. You know, people will make the jokes of 8-8 and stuff like that. But if you really look back at his tenure – now, you know, take the Rams aside. But his whole tenure here, you'd sign up for that in a heartbeat.
Well, the 8-8s were competitive.
They were competitive 8-8s.
They fought.
They fought, and it set up for, you know, the Super Bowl run, which was a team that was an okay team that just overachieved. The next year, the 2000 team was the team.
Well, look at
that was the best team he ever
look
had.
At 96, 97, and 98, how Floyd drafted that team. They were good. Hell, at 98, they were 8-6 going to those last two games a year with a chance to make the playoffs. And they had the run. 04 was not that good because the salary cap hit them in 05. They were bad. But they rebounded in 06. Playoffs in 07. 08, they went 13-3. 09, they started 0-6, but they rallied really good. But they were competitive. This team now is not
09,
competitive.
You tell me if I'm right or wrong. I think 09 was Bud's fault. He wouldn't pay Haynesworth because he never wanted to pay anybody, but he wouldn't pay Haynesworth.
Okay.
Schwartz left to become a head coach. That's not his fault.
Keep
but,
going, yeah.
Fisher made a bad hire at D.C. I will say that.
Is that Chuck Cecil?
That was Chuck Cecil. That was a bad hire.
Chuck Cecil.
Yeah. I think that was a bad move. Not paying guys. And Vandenbosch left.
Yep, to the Lions.
Yeah. So you lose two key guys.
And then you started
the
with
line.
Kerry Collins was your guy. I mean,
yep.
And then
I think Bud was pushing Vince behind the scenes.
Well, they started 0-6. Then I think that was the year where when they started 0-6, they rallied and they won like four or five in a row. The last five or six games, Fisher, and he'll never admit it, and Jeff's our friend, it was all about Chris Johnson. It was about getting Chris Johnson 2,000 yards. You could watch it. You could see it. You go back and watch it. You watch an 09 season from that perspective of getting Chris Johnson 2,000 yards, and you'll see exactly what we're talking about. And he got us 2,000 yards at the end of the season in 2009. But they fought, man. They even with Munchak's team, they weren't awful. This team is awful. I mean, from top to bottom. Let me ask you. All right, so the first-round pick, camp doing well. The second round pick, where's this guy?
Oladejo?
He's terrible.
Yeah, because he's not an edge rusher.
Why would you take this guy in the second round? Which makes me feel bad because you've got the really good guy from Penn State, Winston. I think he's good.
He's going to be – look, he's coming off an injury. That's going to be your Jeffrey Simmons.
Yeah, and you got Io Manor, and you got DK, and you got Jackson Slater. You drafted really good. Stop
that's
drafting
be
projects.
Really, like, Kevin Winston, I think, is going to turn out to be a really good pick.
Stop drafting prospects.
Well, not in the second round.
Not in the second round. Don't
like,
do that.
I don't have a problem with taking a flyer on a hurt guy that's an ACL in the third round, and that's what they did. Because if he doesn't get hurt, Winston might have been a first round pick.
Yeah, when Simmons was hurt,
right,
out of
right.
Mississippi State.
Like there are times where, depending on what the injury is, that it's okay to do it. A hurt back, not so much.
Yeah,
but you know, an ACL, okay. You're going to bounce back from that. It might take a year or so, but you're going to bounce back from that.
Was the Brownlee thing, and I want to hear this audio again in a minute. Was it a I know they do it in politics all the time. Was it a distraction? Was it something like, all right, we're going to do this and not talk about that?
Maybe. Ricky just said that Femi kid is Kevin Dodd 2.0.
Yeah.
He might be.
And then what did John Robinson say about Kevin Dodd, which was really good? He's like, you ever go on the dating app and then
get catfished?
The picture doesn't match the person when you see him in person. I was like, oh, this is good, John. Really
you know,
good stuff.
What I would love to do is if I could spend like 6 weeks with an NFL team's talent evaluation department. Like if all teams would just basically say, hey, we're going to pick a media member out of each market, and you get to go spend 6 weeks with talent eval and draft prep, I think it would be so eye-opening and change how a lot of us think.
I think so.
And look, I've taught – you know people. I know people. We've talked to people over the years and kind of get a sense of it's not as easy as you think it is. It's more than just watching film or watching a guy on a game day or – because in essence, like the tape and everything that you're sent, that's the highlights. Sure. You need to see the lowlights. Well, you need to see how they bounce from the lowlights.
I asked Derek Mason, not our Derek Mason, MTSU Derek Mason one time about scouting players. And I said, you get the tape. He's like, no, I like going to the games on Friday nights because when everything goes bad, what's he doing? What's that guy doing?
Yep.
Is he lifting his teammates up? Is he sulking? Is he off to the side? That goes a lot. Jimmy Johnson famously did this when he's recruiting in high schools. He would go and talk to people, your teacher. Hey, is Chase going to class? What kind of student's Chase? The janitor. Russell Maryland story is fantastic. Talking to a janitor. He sees Russell Maryland at 6 feet tall dunking a basketball. And like, why is this guy in the highlights? Well, he's kind of quiet, coach, but he's got talent. And he gets – there's different ways to do things. You know – how did Derek Mason as a fourth rounder make it? What drove him? I want to know what drove him to make it.
Yeah.
Because odds are a fourth rounder, you're about 50-50. That dude turned out to be a badass. What clicked with him? Why can't you find that? How hard is it to find that mindset that goes forward instead of finding a Kevin Dodd or a Ryan Leaf or Jamarcus Russell? We can go on and on and on of guys that just don't get it, who just don't like football after a certain point, and that's it. Why did what's the fourth-rounder mentality? That the league is peppered with fourth-rounders now of guys who get it. Find that, and that's mental, and that's really hard to find.
100%. 615-737-1025 is our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Reset our question of the day.
Our question of the day, Bo Hardigree's taking over play calling on Sunday. What play? What's the first play of the game do you want to see from Bo Hardigree? Basically, what play would you call if you had to call the first play of the game on Sunday versus the Texans? 615-737-1025. Y'all's responses every time we do a question of the day are outstanding. So thank you guys very much.
Fat Hog in Murfreesboro says, my first call of the game will be to Papa John's.
Man, it's Papa John's, Super Bowl champion 50.
We'll have more coming on that and much more. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.
You mentioned the change in the play calling.
It wasn't anything about Jarvis in particular, but you decided to trade a semi-productive fifth round pick in his second year.
Sure.
For a step up from the seventh round to the sixth. So if it wasn't about Jarvis in particular, what was it about?
Again, it's about the short-term and long-term goals. I've already elaborated on it. You're not going to get any more details about the conversation. It is what it is.
How is it not about the player?
No, it's always about all of it. All those things factor into the process, whether it's the player, whether it's the fit, whether it's what we think we can get for him, whether it's something that adds to the value of our draft capital. Those are all parts of the conversation, and those are decisions that we make as we talk about them.
That was Brian Callahan. Little... You know what? He does something that I do, and I hate that I'm about to reveal this because all of y'all are going to pick up on it. When somebody's talking to me about something that you're not going to change my mind on, and I've made my mind up, and I'm just hearing you out just to be nice. Sure. Yeah, sure. I got you.
Is that what you do?
That is my, like, you're just... Go ahead. It makes you feel better, but I've made the decision, so we're moving forward. Does that.
I don't like and nobody's asking me. I just don't like the smart ass tone of.
Yeah, no, I agree.
In our ivory tower, you're not getting access to any of this. Just tell people I traded him. He's gone. The famous Chris Rock line. Is he here? Screw him. He's gone. Talk about him. Doesn't matter. I mean, I just don't understand it. But then again, I don't understand a lot of things that are going on in this world with that football team. And that's one of the things. But you trade him now. What do you got to do? It's just the old line. Was it rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic? That's all we're doing over here, doing that the entire time.
It absolutely. By the way, 9720 said solid Starwood shirt, Big Joe.
Thank you so much. I've had it for. Yeah, we should just do a whole show on Starwood because that's pleasant.
I drove by there the other day.
That's good memories, like, right? That's something positive and good memories of talking about a football team that can't win a single game and probably – I mean, what if they go 0-17? Honestly, 0-17.
Then they're going to get the first overall pick.
Right. I don't think they should be allowed. I think they should be sent to the SEC. Doesn't the EPL do that for a soccer team? Is that right?
Relegation, yeah. They do it all over the world.
What's it called?
Relegation.
Relegation.
So what is the league under the EPL?
It's like the English Premier League 2, and then it goes to like the National League. Or there's like seven different divisions in English
soccer.
Because
that in what was that show? Ted Lasso, that happened to them. They got relegated.
Oh, okay.
And then they won the championship and went back.
Like Wrexham right now with what's his name, the Deadpool guy. You know what I'm talking about? Deadpool.
Ryan Reynolds?
Yeah, Ryan Reynolds. He owns that team with the guy from Sunny in Philadelphia. I forget his name.
Charlie
too.
Day?
No.
Danny DeVito?
No. Well, forget about it. Anyways, they own this club.
Nick Foles?
No. They own this club in England that went from like amateur league to the bottom all the way to the top. So they're now in, I think, Premier League or Second League.
That is all so confusing. But
could
again,
you imagine if the NFL did that, though?
Had a secondary league that nobody... Does anybody watch the secondary league?
Why doesn't MLS do that?
It's a great question.
With, like, USL.
I've harped it for so long. It's because they have some academy teams in USL, unfortunately. Yeah. So that kind of differentiates it there.
But that's a whole different... Literally and figuratively, that's a whole different world and sporting landscape over there. I used to work with a British guy, Ashley Webster. And we talked about the love for soccer and rugby. He's like, over here, you guys got colleges and colleges. He's over there, we don't. We got rugby and soccer, and that's it. I was like, that's a sad way to live. I just like,
so can
kind
you,
of have football.
Can you imagine if the NFL had relegation, the Titans would certainly be relegated. The Jets maybe, the Browns.
Saints. This year, yeah. The Browns for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
Cardinals. You know how I feel about the Cardinals, man.
Like, but the Titans would never. I mean, the Titans in their history probably like half the time would have been in a lower league.
They've had the Titans. They've had, is it 50-50 on their 800 on their 500 seasons? Maybe that's pretty.
Well, if only there were a place.
Because they've had winning – I mean, I'll tell you here, they've had 96 to 98, they're 8-8. 99 was 13-3. 2000, 13-3. 2001, 7-9.
Okay, I got it
2002,
right. 2002, I got it right 3. Here.
Keep going.
All right, so 97 was the first year in Nashville. 8-8.
Mm-hmm.
8-8. 99, 13-3. 2000, 13-3. 01, 7-9.
Mm-hmm.
2002, 11-5. 03, 12-4. Then 5-11, 4-12. 8-8.
Yes.
10-6. 10-3. 8-8. 6-10. That was Fisher's last year.
13-3. 13, what? You said 10-3. So 13-3 in 08.
Oh, 13-3, yeah. 6-10, 9-7, 6-10, 7-9. You know, looking at Munchak compared to some of the BS we've had,
right.
He wasn't that bad.
Right.
2-14, 3-13.
God.
Vrabel went 4 straight years in 9-7. Well, actually, Malarkey's in there too. So 4 straight years in 9-7. 11-5, 12-5, 7-10, 6-11, 3-14.
And not bad. It's not bad. No team is going to be perfect.
I forgot they had 4 straight years of 9-7.
So what did they do in 16? Was that a 9-7 year?
That was the first 9-7 year.
Okay. And then 17 made the playoffs at 9-7.
And lost in the divisional round.
Thumped Kelsey and the boys.
Yep. Vrabel's first year was 9-7. It came down to that Sunday night game against Indy.
Mariota didn't play.
Mariota was hurt.
Gabbert played. He's terrible.
And then 19. I forgot they went 9-7 in 19. The year they went to the championship game.
They were bad because Mariota was awful as a quarterback.
That's right. That's right.
Terrible.
And then 11-5, lost in the wild card. 12-5, they lost in the divisional round after being the one seed.
Let me do this for me. What is their record now since Amy fired John Robinson? I'm curious.
Okay. That'll take.
Because again,
was that 22?
Yeah, that was after the Philadelphia game in 22. Because again, Amy Adams,
give me a
second. I think, is 100% responsible of this disaster we see at Nissan Stadium now.
So after that game, they went 0-5.
Okay.
For the rest of that year, and then. So let's see, 0-5, 6-17, 9, what's 17 plus 14?
31.
9-31. They're 9-34. if I did the math right.
Is that 29%?
Yeah.
28%? That's the clip at which this football team is winning games. If that doesn't wake you up to what a disaster she is as an owner, nothing ever will. Nothing will ever open your eyes as bad as she was for firing John Robinson, letting Vrabel go.
33. Yeah. So they're 9-33.
9-33. All right. So that is – what are we looking at? So for that might be last way. That's 42 games. That's less than 25%, right? Damn it.
Jake's
back there smart.
21.4 is what he said.
That's the clip you're winning since you fired John Robinson. And you tell me, and they've tried to argue with us, that when you fired John Robinson, players don't care. They care.
Our soccer insider at The Unathletic says it's EPL, championship, League One, League Two, and so on and so forth.
I ain't paying attention to that nonsense.
And he's disappointed that you let me down on that.
I'm not a big EPL fan, so that's the thing.
You're
all
the
about
one,
Spanish.
But you're a big EPT fan.
I don't even know what that is. Is that like a nervous response team?
It's an early pregnancy test.
Call me fat?
Oh, you're missing the boat. God bless you. I mean, you are as precious as the day is long.
Oh, God.
All right, changing my diet tomorrow.
That's not what he's saying. Oh, man, I'll tell you in the break, Bubba. Love you, man. Big time. So they're winning at 21%. Does that clear it up for people
depressing.
Out there? How disastrous Amy Adams is? 21%. Because you had to fire John Robinson. And what's going to happen on Sunday when you drop an egg in Houston, you're going to fire this guy. I mean, you need to remove yourself from the equation and get out of there. And y'all continue to defend her. She is a terrible owner. She is her father's daughter. Pretty simple.
So Vrabel without Robinson went 6-16.
Yeah, keep crunching the numbers, man.
And then this idiot is 3-17.
3-7. He's won one game at Nissan Stadium. He can't coach. It's okay to fire him. He's going to be okay. He's worth. He's got millions to be paid out by an owner who's worth a couple billion. Don't give me the selective poverty stuff. It's time to start anew and get somebody who knows what they're doing. Stop going with the flavor of the month. Stop doing that. They need to hire, who's that assistant coach that filled in at Michigan when the guy's out? Big fat slob, but the players love him. The coach from Appalachian State, or Charlotte. He was at Charlotte. Hire that guy. Get him coming. Have these guys that somebody they love to play for. Stop hiring flavors of the month. Oh, he calls plays. He didn't call plays. Well, he was on that team. He didn't do anything for Peyton Manning. Didn't do anything for Matthew Stafford. Did nothing for Derek Carr. Did nothing for Joe Burrow. Go on and on. He did nothing. They're already elite players. Get rid of him. Move on. Bring somebody else in here, and let's fight this. It ain't working. 21%, that's what they're winning since John Robinson got fired. 21%. Hell, we could get a 21%. I'm pretty sure we could.
Yeah. And then here we others. J-Rob's drafts and free agent whiffs are most to blame for why Vrabel has gone in the current Titans issues. It's not all of it. It's some of it, yes. I'm not giving him a pass, but there's more to that, too. So,
When they were number one in 21, they didn't have Isaiah Wilson. They didn't have Caleb Farley. There's a lot of guys still that were out.
Yeah.
They just got – they were good that year.
I'm not saying – he had bad drafts, and he admitted that. He admitted his mistakes when he came on our show. I mean, he does not get a pass.
Just a couple short years ago.
Is Brady Hoke who you're talking about?
No, it's he did it right now. He's a guy –
Biff
Pogi.
Oh, that guy.
The guy that when Saban ripped on him on game day, and he ripped back on Saban. Saban's like, last time I saw you, you were walking around not doing anything and paying players. And the Pogi's like, I learned it from you, coach. And they were just lying. I mean, it was pretty funny. But get some guy in there that they respect. Wait, stop doing this. Stop doing this.
615-737-1025. That's our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. We are fired up on this Wednesday. You can be fired up with us as well. We'll have more coming here on Chasing Big Joe, including we'll get into a little college talk coming up next here on 102.5 The Game. You're all over the place with music today. I like it. Who is this?
This is McAllen Band.
Okay.
The McAllen or
McAllen Band, yes.
Like the city in Texas?
I believe so.
MC?
No, MAC apostrophe Allen
that
Band.
That is not it.
Well, it's not the same.
Yeah, place. Then don't tell me it's the same when it's not the same.
I just assumed, Joe. I should not assume anymore. I apologize.
You know what happens when you assume? We all assume. That's what happens.
Just like the whole thing last segment you were telling me about?
The EPT?
Yeah.
It has nothing to do with your weight. I don't know where you get that from.
I don't know. You just...
It's the nightmare of every parent who has a teenage kid of like, all right, you find an EPT, it's like, oh, Lord, of what goes on.
Okay,
yeah,
well...
That's it.
Negative.
Good. Congratulations for you.
Can I ask you this? Yeah. Like, because we're more than just, you know, co-hosts. We are pretty close.
Yeah.
We're good friends.
Right.
You've known me a long time.
Yep.
If I ever, like, do you think I would survive being a girl dad?
Yeah, I did.
I mean, like, all the things. Like, I would probably, like, it would drive, like.
You need to tell us something?
No. No, there's nothing.
I mean, we got not. Please, I mean, I don't mind.
No.
I think you would, you would understand that. I mean, I'm telling you, and Derek and Willie can attest to this. I mean, they have.
I just feel like having if I have kids, I don't know if that's in God's plan, but if I do, like a boy would be a lot easier. Like I know that I've been that. Like I. That I'm all about.
So let me give you a quick story from my good friend Michael Turco.
Okay.
Never talked to me. I worked at Channel 2 with him. My daughter's born. He walks up and says, hey, heard you had a daughter. And I said, yeah, a little girl. He's like, let me tell you something. He goes, when you have a boy, you have to worry about one pecker. When you have a girl, you have to worry about all the peckers.
I don't know if you're really supposed to say
that. And that's all he said to me. That's all he said to me. Walked off. And I've always remembered that moment after my daughter was born. I'm like, advice from Turco. I'm telling you, you see things in a whole different world because that's your girl.
Yeah,
that is right. That is your love. That is your first. Your mom's your first love, but it's a 1A, 1B. And your girl becomes your world, and you fiercely protect her. And I know Willie would say the same. I know Derek would say the same. And although I love my sons, and we've all got sons here, we got sons and daughters, it's just the girl dad perspective is different, and you will see.
Well, because you know, like, you know me as being a very protective person. Like,
yeah.
That's what I'm worried about.
Well, the thing is, you know what?
I'm going to be like Al Bundy. On every time she brings a date home, I'm going to slam their face against the door frame.
Because you know why you're protective of her? Because you were once a 14-year-old boy, 15-year-old boy.
Exactly.
Boy. So, and I will tell you this. One of the greatest things in life is that my daughter found a man who loves her.
Yeah.
My son-in-law is the best. He loves Jesus. He loves his daughter. He loves my daughter. He is the absolute best. The peace of mind I get from having a son-in-law who is a man of God and loves my daughter is worth more than any gold in the world. And you'll see that. If you have a daughter, you'll discover that, and that's one of the greatest things ever. So you'll understand. You'd be a great girl dad. I'm telling you. You'd be a great – you know why you'd be a great girl dad? Because you had a good mom and dad.
Yep. That is true.
Bingo.
Let's go back to the phones at 615-737-1025. Kenny the mailman. Kenny, what's up?
This is as close as I've ever come to hang it up before y'all came to me. I'm just lost all composure. It's I ask the question now. I have a visual of a sea of something, and it's just like, how can I ask a question?
I know.
This sorry, man.
Unbelievable. Well, let me take a deep breath. I'm in such a bad position. I have called y'all to help me with math problems.
Oh, no. Really oh, boy.
Y'all mentioned the Titans are winning at a 21% clip.
Yes, sir.
Quickly, multiply that by two. What would that be?
42?
And that's still a bad percentage.
I know.
You're right.
I know.
Now, math problem number two. Hopefully we can get through this one. It's a word math problem. Let's say you have a fifth-round draft pick at a hard position to pick, cornerback, and he's actually playing. You have him under contract. He can't hold you over the fire to get more money. He has to play, even if he's not behaving. He has to play to earn his money. So you get mad and trade him for a sixth-round pick. But it's not really a six-round pick because you have to add a seventh-round pick to get the six-round pick because they're getting a fifth-round pick to fill that. What is the value of XYZ?
That's a good one. Nobody knows.
You've lost me here, time, Kenny.
We need your support, Kenny. We need you to go buy PSLs if you don't mind.
Oh, my gosh. One more comment. Y'all, we've talked about firing people, right?
Unfortunately,
I don't fire people. There's a special word you can use, reassign. Can you imagine this coach answering the phones for the Titans or working it in the driveway, changing tires? After 3 days, they would resign.
Right. That's
reassign them because, you know, he's talking about they're going to keep all the information in-house. I happen to know for a fact he lives in a condo.
Oh.
You'll have a great day.
Thank you, Kenny. Appreciate it. Can you just, Brian, could you come in here? Listen, we're building this new stadium that the city's paying mostly for, but we want to keep some money. So we're not going to fire you, but we're going to reassign you. This is.
Right.
What would they reassign him to do? That could be a question of the day.
I mean, think about it. Hey, you're still employed. Go over there and, you know, and pound rocks. I mean, you're going to go over there and take the wheelbarrow around.
Can you mow the grass?
I mean, that's a great – we laugh about that, but that would be something else.
Because don't most – you know, when you get hired somewhere, you get – usually a lot of places will give you a job description, right, of like your general, this is what we're hiring you to do. But every company – and I know this because I'm part of it – love to put in the line, and other duties as assigned, because that is the that lets the company I can ask you to do something else.
Yep. Yeah.
Because it's as other duties as assigned.
Didn't that happen to Milton in Office Space? They just keep showing up. Paychecks kept coming in, then they stopped the paychecks. I think that's all part of that. It's a good point. But, yeah, I mean, look, you're right. You double. You're at 42%. I mean, they're at 21% winning clip since she fired John Robbs. I mean, this is a great I'm telling you, this is a fantastic 30 for 30. Because in 2019, you're in the AFC Championship game. In 2021,
a Titanic disaster.
You got the number one AFC seed. You got the number one team in the AFC. And, hell, you brought in, what, 95 players? What was some crazy number?
It was something like that.
That you brought in, and you still number. And you lost Derrick Henry for half the season.
Yep.
And you still, and you had a chance to beat the Bengals to go to the division, the championship game, which Nashville's never hosted. And then just a few short years later, you're at a 21% clip. Henry's gone. Brown's gone. Tannehill's gone. I mean, it's a disaster of epic proportions. And the worst part is we're watching it all play out in real time. I mean, it's terrible.
3337 says, in the case of Brownlee, Chase, when you have an employee that keeps doing the same thing you keep telling them they can't do, what eventually has to happen? They gone.
Traded to the Jets.
That too. If I could just trade people to the Jets.
Yeah, right?
Hey, like, hey, I got good news for you. You're being traded to the Jets.
Hey, still getting paid, right? I'd go to the Jets. But I mean, it's something. And this is just much more than a team that's bad. I mean, they're chronically bad. It's terrible.
Wes and Herman, you may remember this. It's like that scene from The Office when they hire a stripper for the bachelor party, but they didn't want her to strip. They booked her for 3 hours and made her answer phones.
That's right. Exactly. It's a perfect example, Wes. Good job.
That is a good one. 615-737-1025. Chasing Big Joe, broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Chasing Big Joe, 1025, the game here on this Wednesday. Every time I want to move on to something different, there's something pops up about this football team.
This is great, man.
The local professional football team. Thank you to Music City Bets for sending this. A to Z Sports Nashville put out a tweet that said, sources confirmed the Titans Jarvis Brownlee breakup had writing on the wall dating back to his college days, leading to surprising trade. And then there's a link. Someone has just quote tweeted it, that someone is Jarvis Brownlee.
Woo!
And said, hey bro, stop putting poop on here that's not facts. I never ever was a problem at Florida State, nor Louisville, nor the Titans. I was one of the guys who brought energy into that building every day, 100. I bled red and blue. So stop the false writing on me, please. Thank you.
Man. Now, when you're going back out, reaching back out, commenting on that like Brownlee did, fired up, and you're going to dispute everything. So good for you, Brownlee.
Okay, I'm going to reply to this tweet, and I'm going to say, hey, want to come on our radio show right now and clear things up?
Do it. Do it. Sources confirm the Titans Jarvis Brownlee breakup had writing on the wall dating back to his college days. Dr. Crane, we were doing the show, me and you. Remember when Brownlee got into a fight with fans during the Tampa practice?
Yep.
Which I had no problem with, because if you're running your mouth, like, allegedly, remember the guy told us from Pewter Insider and said they were running their mouth at him and kept on. And he finally said, all right, enough of this, and turned around. I got no problem doing that. Had he gone at the fans before, there's a problem. But they're on his ass the entire time. I got no problem doing that.
And the week before, somebody stole his helmet at practice. Remember that?
That's right. Maybe it was A to Z stole his helmet. Now he's mad. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Tweet sent.
Hey.
Why not, right?
Shoot your shot, man.
David wants to weigh in. What's up, David?
Thanks for taking my calls, guys. I know y'all are ready to move on to something else, but now you've started this.
I know. We're good.
I bought tickets the hour they went on sale, the hour this team put their tickets on sale. I quit counting at around $74,000 is what I've spent to the Adams family, somewhere around. I quit counting over the years. Yeah, and I am not a wealthy person. But, you know, I went to Denver to watch the Titans. We usually pick a game. those stands were packed an hour and a half before the game started. It was emotion everywhere. They were crazy. They were great, great, great fans. And then I come here and we play the Rams opening day. And that stadium was a third empty. Opening day. Half of the two-thirds that were there were probably Rams fans, which I didn't even know they had that many Rams fans in L.A. But my point is this, and I've left my list at home. I'm sorry, I have to work for a living. My numbers, best I can tell, and we've had two or three good years, but best I can tell, we've been through, I think, five team presidents. We've been through, I think, six general managers. We've been through seven or eight coaches. We've been through about 400 to 600 players. There's only one common denominator in that seems to always find the cheapest way out. And then we make changes. Well, we got a new GM. Well, we got a new coach. Well, we got a new president. Well, we're going to build a stadium. Everybody says, well, we're blowing up and rebuilding. You have to have something before you can rebuild it. About 12 years ago, supposedly, they were talking about moving this team to San Antonio. We would probably have another franchise by now, just like Cleveland, just like Baltimore. There's only one common denominator, and I was thrilled to death when Bud handed over to Amy. I'm not going to go any – I mean, Bud's gone. It's the same it's the same front office that seems to – I mean – go back when you have spare time. Go back and look at the AFC. I mean, the AFL. Look at the teams that were with Bud. Look at where all of them have gone over the last – since 1962.
Great point.
Look at where they have all been, the Dolphins. Just go back and look at his buddies. See what all the hardware they won. And, Joe, both of you, great show. I enjoy it. And my last parting shot, I really, really like listening to 102.5 after 2 o'clock now.
Thank you, David.
Have a good day.
Thank you, David.
Bye-bye. Appreciate it. They're doing a great job on DVD.
So, they are. I mean, that's a good point. All of the Bills haven't done – there's no hardware for the Bills. But I get what he's saying. They're
competitive. Well, the interesting part is the first 3 years of the AFL – Houston was in the championship game and they won two of them.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And then they were in the conference final in 67, and then the merger happens.
Then they played the Steelers twice.
Bum got them to the AFC?
Championship?
Yeah.
Yeah, twice. The Steelers beat them. Back to back in 79, 80, or 78, 79, whatever that was. And then they didn't go there again until Fisher got him in 99. Yeah. No, he's right. I mean, that's the constant. You know, John McClain comes on here and, you know, tells us all the time how it ended in Houston. People in Houston, I have dear friends in Houston, absolutely despise the Adams family.
Oh, yeah.
Despise them. And that's why this game's important to them on Sunday, because they can rub it in Bud's face or at the time in Amy's face. They cannot stand the Adams family. And so it's going to go on and on and on, and that's a constant. But you're at 21% now in the last
years. And by the way, he's right. So six GMs since they got here, six GMs, six head coaches. I don't know about team presidents because – so what, Diamond? Wasn't Jeff Diamond one?
Yeah, Diamond. And was Underwood a president?
Yeah, Underwood.
There was another guy they just jettisoned like 2 years ago. I don't
remember. Well, no, because Burke took over for Underwood.
They had another guy that they fired. Like, I did a taste testing with him at a.
He wasn't the team president though.
Oh, what was he?
I know who you're talking about. Oh, he was. He was a VP of something.
Something.
I know exactly who you're talking about.
Who are the GMs? Am I okay? Floyd.
Floyd, Reinfeldt, Rustin, J. Rob, Ran. And Borgonzi.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. Coaches were Fisher, Munchak, Wisenhunt, Malarkey, Vrabel, Callahan.
For now.
For now. And then, right. There's another team. Who was the president when they first got here?
Mike McCormick.
No.
Don McLaughlin? What is Don McLaughlin? Okay.
I think it was Don. Or maybe it was Diamond, then Don McLaughlin.
McLaughlin was something.
Yeah, he was something.
Was Mike McCormick?
Big.
That's the guy that was okay. the president when they were in Houston. I don't know okay. if he came here or not.
Yeah.
Regardless, it all goes up to the owner who famously doesn't want to pay anybody.
Yeah. Look, I mean, at the end of the day, that's your problem. It's famously. It is an ownership problem.
Yep.
At the end of the and look, she fooled us all because at first. It was like she came in here and she got rid of Wisenhunt, and that was the best move, and then gets rid of Rustin Webster and brings in Robinson and Vrabel, or Malarkey, then Vrabel. And it's like, okay, all right, things are going back. Like, it's feeling good again. And then one day, the offensive coordinator gets drunk on a plane, and it just goes all to hell.
We'll never know the A.J. Brown story, will we? They can tell us all they well, want. We'll never know. Even when his contract's up, he ain't telling us.
Yeah. I think we know enough.
I want to know.
I know. I feel like I know enough to know what happened.
Every bit. Amy, are we going to pay him? No, we're not.
I mean, I feel like there's enough there.
I just, to me, it's the Vrabel reaction when they traded A.J. Mm-hmm. Brown. I'm a big body language guy. I always have been. Body language doesn't lie.
And I think that hurt their relationship.
Yep.
Even though I think John was doing basically what he was told to do.
Yep. Yeah. 21%, Chase.
Yep. That's all you need to know. That is all you need to know. All right, I promise we're going to talk some college football. We're going to do that coming up.
Gotcha.
Next.
All right,
Chase, unless Jarvis Brownlee calls in, then, you know, we'll switch gears. Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni, 102.5 The Game.